Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah. Relax. Yeah. Take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot.
If you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay? You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
Another year, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to the first episode of the regular season for the Panthers 2016 season. We're here to talk about the season opener and the loss that it was to the Broncos. Got certainly plenty to talk about there, particularly now that we've had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5 days to let it sink in and cool heads prevail, so obviously I'm going to be talking about that here, and obviously the Newton head hunting. And I'm sure we'll get around a little 49ers-Panthers preview and whatever else is grooving and shaking around the NFL. Maybe a little fantasy discussion. It's a big waiver wire week this week and next week. So I definitely have some thoughts on that. I see I got quite a few people already out on the line. Oh, Lord. Well, I got about 10 already. So, yeah, I kind of had a feeling you guys might want to talk about this one. Just call it a gut feeling, you know, after doing this for so many years. Thought you guys might want to talk about this one a little bit because there was some shaky refereeing going on in that Panther game, to put it mildly. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but it did really piss me off, and we probably haven't bitched about it enough, in my view. It just seems like there is an obvious anti-Cam Newton element in the NFL refereeing pool. I don't want to say that, but, you know, we've been seeing it for a while. And, you know, the comment from Ed Hockley's and I don't know, it just seems Cam does take a beating when he's a passer, and maybe that's because he's a runner a lot too. Probably a lot of elements that could or could not be involved here. I'm really just bitching it, or, you know, I'm more worried about the guy's health and that he's going to, you know, be our quarterback all season. We can't have this continue every week. Though I do think a big portion of it is the Broncos are, we saw this in the Super Bowl. And there's a couple players that I just think are dirty players on their team. Von Miller is not one of them. But we'll be talking about how well we blocked Von Miller in this one. But I'll save that for you guys. I think it's kind of obvious. But, I guess I'm just, in the end, I'm bitching because I want to get the next call to go my way. I want them to be protective of Cam, maybe over so in these future games to come, because, you can bet the 49ers, who looked like they had a pretty good defense last night, even though the Rams are pretty damn inept, they could easily deploy some of the same tactics. So that's, another thing that needs to be prevented. And hopefully Goodell, when's he announced these damn fines? Probably Thursday or Friday. We'll see. I'm just expecting the one hit by Brandon Marshall to catch a fine, probably a pretty big one. But that's it. you know, I agree that one of them was, when he was running the ball, was probably was legal. But there were at least two others that could have been called. Because you're not supposed to rate whether the person intended to hit him in the helmet or not. It's whether they do or they don't. It's not like, oh, well, he was being blocked or, you know, blah, blah. Nope. At least that's the way the rule was written in my view. So that's what I think about that. And honestly, I'm more upset. What I'm really kind of pissed off about is Graham Gano missing that fucking field goal. All right, pardon my French, but damn it. You know, you just look so damn, what the hell do they call the midget footballer? I can't remember the name. One of y'all will tell me. Not Bush League. Well, maybe Bush League. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. When you let icing work. You're a professional. Icing isn't supposed to work, dude. Damn. That one hurt. But I wanted to give Gano shit, but actually I looked back last year and he hit two game winners and, you know, didn't lose a game. I guess it was probably two seasons ago where he blew one. Wasn't it the Bengals tie? I don't know. Anyway, I'm rambling here, and so I know everyone else wants their shot here. I see I got Mayday. I got a few more people down here. Mayday, Cat, Chris. Let's see who's been on the line the longest here. Oh, that would be Chris.
Hey, Jack.
Well, Chris was on the phone like 5 or 10 minutes early. He's so anxious to talk.
Oh, God, I can't believe it. That game was just brutal.
Yeah. It was just, you know, Newton tore them up in the first half. And, you know, they were talking about it at halftime. The defense, we've got to get some hits on him.
Yeah.
You know, we got to rattle him. We got to shake him up. Go for, you know, they probably don't actually say, spear him in the head. But maybe they do. I don't know. But, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, when Gano missed that field goal, I collapsed like Cam did in the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
To the ground. It was, ugh.
I was just like, oh my God, Graham Gano. It's like, please let there be another damn flag or something.
Oh, yeah, but then that's
you could go back
about.
And look at if it could have, would is, that game could have been very different. But it just would have been such an epic win to have nailed that field goal. And then, you know, no matter how bad you beat him up, boom, there's your MVP. He's still going to get you down there so you can win the game. would have been a great story, just that closing chapter didn't quite come out right.
Yeah. Benjamin looked great out there, though.
Yeah, he did. Particularly on the touchdown pass. That's, you know, that's just money in the bank right there if you can get them to play off of him in that situation like they did. You get in the red zone, they're going to have to jam him at the line.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hard because he's so damn strong and has such long arms. And Cam certainly has eyes for him already. What he had,
mm-hmm.
12 targets, 6 catches? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I have to look that up again. I'm going from memory on that, but I think that's correct.
It did sort of worry me how often he was targeting him, like over everyone else.
Yeah. And it was like in spurts, too.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't see Greg Olsen until the second quarter, and then it was like, you know, 3 or 4 passes went to Olsen.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of interesting. They play the game like I play Madden. I find a play that works and I try, you know, keep playing a little bit until it stops working.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. I got to look this up here now. Got the game book open. 6 of 12. I remembered it correctly. 91 and a touchdown. So, you know, like I said, Olsen didn't do hardly anything in the first half. Or was it towards just all the second? see. Oh, no, he actually, it was the second quarter. Yeah. But he had four catches in the second quarter, only one in the second half. But, you know, for all the love given to Devin Funchess, boy, he sure seemed like an afterthought in the offense, didn't he?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, maybe he's not going to break. You know, one target ain't going to do it.
Yeah, same with Ginn, like just one catch, I believe, and that was it.
Yeah. No, Ginn didn't catch a ball.
We didn't go deep at all.
May have gotten a target. I have to look in the other. Well, no, I'm in the GIS.
Yeah.
They don't even have him targeted here. Oh, I'm looking in the first half. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he caught one ball on one target for five. Yeah, just it's just nine targets to Olsen and 12 to KB, and that was the passing game.
Yeah,
and I do think
I really wish we'd aired it out more.
That makes us too damn predictable. You know, he needs to give about four of those passes to Funchess and, you know, Ginn and Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Spread
definitely
around. And I thought we were going to see more passes to the running backs, because we did a lot of that in training camp and really didn't see much of it. All right, Chris. Well, hold on here. I see I got Catastrophe. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's going pretty good, man. I mean, you know, normally losing a season opener, I mean, it hurt and all that, but, you know, I know we got a good team, and the Bucks aren't going to be on top of the division for long.
Yeah. Well, I had three things that I wanted to talk about, one of which would be, you know, a little bit later, you know, the fantasy topic, you know, you're talking about.
Yeah.
But two things, you know, up front I'd like to talk about. I thought Reimers looked good. I know he had help early. And any team that can make Von Miller pretty much, you know, disappear for two, three, even almost four quarters is saying something. I know he had help. That's great. But
yeah, he did.
You know. And then
well,
the other thing I was going to say.
Time, that one sack he
really
did have
did.
Was just, it was bone crushing.
Yeah.
Or a backbreaker.
And then the other thing I was going to say, the hit that was on Kelvin Benjamin, I know a lot of the hits, of course, you know, we'll talk about, you know, between the other callers too, will be about, you know, Cam getting hit.
Right.
But that one, I can't remember who hit it. I think it was number 26. But
yeah,
it Kelvin Benjamin and his left knee, the one that he tore, the ACL, and he got up. That right there could really make or break this whole season if that would have done something to him. And his confidence is there. I have a lot of confidence in Kelvin Benjamin this year.
Well,
I really do.
I think we proved we can survive without him. But that would just be kind of a killer to his career to go through that, you know. But, yeah, he definitely went lower than he needed to. I can get why you might think you need to go low to get him off his feet. He's so big. But, you know, here's that whole, oh, well, he's big, so I can cheap shot him crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know. I'm not going to say he was targeting his left knee specifically, but he certainly went for the lower knee area rather than, you know, he could have gone a little higher right on the thigh. You know, or the hamstring. I
guess. Exactly. Let's just pretend for a half second that the guy that made the tackle wasn't targeting his left knee.
Yeah, you're breaking up. I'm not sure what that's about, but I didn't really hear your last sentence.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there it is. What'd you do?
No, what I was saying was the cornerback that actually hit Kelvin Benjamin in the left knee, the one that he tore, the ACL that he tore, Kelvin Benjamin was able to get up, and that actually, in Kelvin Benjamin's mind, is probably going to give him confidence to move forward for the rest of the year, is what I was saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to help him at least going into this next game. Of course, you know, he's going to continue to take shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully Cam will, you know, make him go up the ladder too much and hang him out to dry. But,
yeah.
You know,
I guess, but now that he knows that he can get hit there and survive, he has nothing to lose the rest of the season. He's just going to go for it. And I'm good with that.
Did you say you had three things? How many have we covered?
Well, the fantasy thing I was going to use later, the Mike Remmers thing against Von Miller.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
Remmers. I wanted to revisit that, yeah. I, you know, completely agree that, I think he did a pretty good job with him, particularly early. I did, you know, over on Mile High Report, him bitching about him being held and, they got a picture of, pretty much Mike Remmers is holding him. You pretty much wasn't denying that, but hey, it's not like we couldn't pull out a picture from the other side as well of our guys being held.
That's right.
There was a curious low amount of holding calls called in that game. And, you know, that's a pretty famous axiom. You could say you could probably call holding on just about every play in the NFL.
Exactly.
If you really wanted to go by the rule
book. Exactly right, Jackson. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised overall. Even losing the game, I thought we did pretty good. And we're still playing one of the top defenses in the league. Our offense is
going
to be just fine.
They're still a damn good defense. And I will say that their offensive line played well. I mean, they
absolutely.
They played much better on the offensive line than they did last in the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
You know, C.J. Anderson tore us up. Can't blame that on hits on Cam. I wish I played him in fantasy, damn it. I had him on one of my benches.
Well, I played him, and I'm going to tell you, man, if – I know you've been playing fantasy football for a long time, and I know a lot of the callers have too. It's hard to play
mm-hmm.
somebody else against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want them to do good, but, heck, I don't care if C.J. Anderson scores five touchdowns as long as we win.
Yeah, well, that's true. That would have been perfect then if I had played him and we won the game, huh? But
Yeah. Well, I'll let you jump.
All right. And okay, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, let's come back to the fantasy thing there, Kat. And let's move on here. I got Josh. He's been waiting patiently so I can turn his mic on. Wait, here we go. Josh. Are you there, Josh? You muted? Let's see. I see I got Mayday out there. Got queued up. And crap. I got
a couple
of people I haven't. Ah, there he is. He found the mute button.
What's going on? Yeah.
You know, bitching and moaning, hoping to get the next call, you know, kind of like they do, you know, Rivera does with the refs and whatnot. Is you may not win that argument, but maybe you win the next one.
Yeah. I just got something to say more than anything. I would still be complaining about these calls, even if we – or the lack of calls, even if we won the game. I get this whole, you're just a sore loser type. No. I just want to be fair. You know, I mean, Cam was just getting – I mean, you know, it was – he was getting murdered. You know what I mean?
Well,
I just felt sorry for the guy at one time.
And, you know, you hear that. We were hearing it immediately. That was on the national news, actually.
Yeah.
And when you make the national news, and again, it was the only game that night. It was a season opener. I get it that it's going to, you know, normally in the national news it might just say, have the score or something. But instead, the headline was about Cam Newton getting pummeled in the head. And everyone saw it. And I even went I was actually at the Jaguars home opener against the Packers. So my wife's a Packer fan, and she bought the tickets and didn't tell me and all that. So I, you know, what the hell? I ain't going to let someone else sit in my $200 seat. So I went down there since we weren't playing, you know. And, you know, we had fun. But I wore my Panther gear, and, of course, you know, all I heard was, man, Cam got, you know, pummeled in the head. They headshotted him 4 or 5 times. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
You know, it was just – so it's not just Panther fans bitching and whining because they lost. It's us worrying about our MVP being able to finish the damn season because
right.
somebody decides, hey, I don't care if I give him a concussion. Then they'll knock him out for a few games maybe. You know,
right.
or you get this whole protocol, and it's like, yeah, I'll take the 15-yarder. Ding. Oh, I dinged him in the head. Hey, you up in the booth. You got to get him off the field. Get him off the field. You know, yeah,
right.
I'll take my 15 yards and my $50,000 fine next week. But I just put the MVP on the damn bench, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. That's kind of where we're headed.
Yeah.
And so,
but,
you know, the more
it,
I think
it,
about that, the more it pisses me off. I'll have to get worked
you
up
know,
again.
If you're feeling like me, I mean, to me, when you purposely launch yourself, and I don't care if what anybody says, there's no defending that. When you purposely launch yourself and you leave your feet when you're making a tackle, you intend to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who knows anything about football, that's not how you tackle. You're intending to hurt somebody.
There's no doubt that Darian Stewart hit and the Brandon Marshall hit were both targeting the helmet.
Exactly.
And
in college, they'd both been injected right there. Period.
Yes. And I think if the NFL wants to really be serious about that shit, they would boot them out of the game, and it'll stop then. It's the only way
it'll stop. Yep.
Making it about money is just stupid, and ain't nobody buying it that it actually matters anything.
Well, see, that's what I was kind of going to ask you about is, you know, with this whole, you know, player safety and stuff like that. And if I was Goodell, I would make an example of him, and I would both suspend him and, you know, Stewart for a game, you know, just to say that, you know, we're not gonna allow this crap.
Yeah,
I think they should
actually have an escalator just like soccer does. Boom, the first one. Well, I don't know. Maybe that is. Well, no, you can't even let the first one. You got to kick them out on the first one. But then, if they get another one within 3 or 4 games or whatever, then they get kicked out of that game and they miss the next game. Shit like that. You know, that, and then if you get a third one in the season, I don't know, maybe it's just for a given season, you get a third one and you're out 4 games or some shit.
The problem is they got to
do more than what they're doing. It's just total bullshit because these guys are weighing the consequences against the action and they're like, let's go for it.
Right.
If you get the shot, take it.
You know, anybody who knows anything about football, even if you swipe at the quarterback's head, it's a penalty. Even if you touch his helmet, it's a penalty. You know, I mean, we don't really like it sometimes because even if you just kind of slap it and touch it, you know, it's a penalty. But I don't know.
What if Ron Rivera just out and said, well, you know, if the refs aren't going to call that stuff, then I'm going to tell my defense to target the opposing quarterback after the first time Cam Newton gets hit in the head. Just like baseball, you can expect the retaliation, and I'll pay the fine.
Right.
So, fuck you, Goodell. I mean, come on. He's about to come up with some pussy-ass damn fines for these two guys. Oh, $100,000, whatever. Like, that's going to matter a hill of damn beans, and who says that it's not going to get paid back to them through the union or some shit? So.
Yeah. Well, you see what T.J. Ward said after about all this stuff, and that thing just pissed me off even more was hearing him talk. I mean, basically, he wanted to make sure that Cam felt, you know, we were putting some pads to him. You know, I just...
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of Bush League right there.
Yeah.
But,
what really pissed me off was Derek Wolfe saying we were targeting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we were targeting their linemen. I did hear that too. I'm like, what? Shut up.
Because of that face mask? Yeah, I was like, okay, whatever.
Got Goose Creek on the line. What's up, GC?
Hey, guys.
Got you in it. Yeah, there you are. So, keep me from going over the edge here, GC.
It's too late. You're already there, buddy.
We're all there.
I'm trying not to melt down again. It's been 5 days. I really thought I was going to be calm at this point. I started out.
I don't know. You've been running around watching
the more
Green Bay.
About it.
But I put something in the in one of the comments about a rule change. You know how every year I always put in, you know, what rule change would you change, and give a few examples what I like. And I put in there that they ought to eject them from the game and the next game. And if they do it a second time, then they're out the next two games. They do it again, they're out 8 games.
Yeah.
And then at the
but
end of the season, then the next
pay.
Season,
then the,
if they
the
got
team
three,
has incentive.
They start out with two penalties against them. So then if they do it again, it's 8 games again. And that'd put an end to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they could come up with this, you know how the whole roughing the kicker is they got the lesser penalty now. They got the 15 and the 5.
Right.
You know, you could come up with something like that. So the Von Miller hit would be more the 5 yard or, you know, first down and 5 yards, something like that. Hey, you hit him in the head even though we could tell it was unintentional.
You know, well, I mean,
Darian
in
Stewart,
his,
I'm red card in your ass
not,
right now.
I kicked out, but when it's a blatant launching, like two of those hits were should have been ejections to me.
Yeah, and that shit happens fast. So if you need to go to the damn replay booth and look at it, feel free to go do that.
And I think Rivera said something to the fact he wished it was reviewable.
Yeah, I mean, this shit's happening fast. You know, a hit like that can be very hard to discern sometimes. Because honestly, when I first saw the hit by Von Miller, I didn't think it was much of a blow. But then actually, when you go back and see the slow mo, and you know, you're like, oh no, he actually hit him right on the ear hole.
You know, like I said, that was a foul, but that I wouldn't eject somebody for that one.
Right.
I really wouldn't.
No,
I
wouldn't.
Yeah.
But the one
the other two,
you know, he's
gone. Marshall and Stewart should have been ejected.
Yeah, Stewart should have been
that
gone.
That type of rule would be ejected.
That were the two hits.
Obviously,
should have
not
been.
Against the rules right now, really, other than, you know, 15 yards and a penalty. That's all it'll cost you. So, all right. Well, what's up? What else is going on, GC?
I'm waiting on my football.
You wait on your football?
Yeah, man, where's that?
I knew you would be the first person to bring that up to me. I haven't done the drawing yet. It's only like 40-some people in the drawing, and I just need to pull it here. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I got my football, and I can't get the motherfucker to work. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to, you know, somebody's going to win this thing, and I hope I have the lemon. That could be something I'm doing wrong, but I got the app, and I just can't get it connected with damn football. So I'm kind of waiting on an email from tech support on this, but oh.
Maddox doesn't care about his football and that anyway.
It's a sweet football, though, man. It's real tacky, and it's a lot lighter than I thought it would be. So, a sweet pair of gloves. But yeah, I'm gonna film me doing the little thing. I just gotta do the little tickets and do the drawing here, and I'll tell you what, I'll announce it tomorrow night. How about that?
I'm just
but you're definitely in the you did
you know
get
that.
Your questions correct. I'll also let you know that third question I actually had wrong my damn self. And I saw everyone was like I was like, damn, everyone's getting that last one wrong, and I'm like, let me go back and look at this. I'm like, oh, shit, it is 5.
Had 6 conference championships, but only 5 in the South.
Right, right.
had one in the West.
The NFC South, yeah. But it just the first reference I went to, for whatever reason, didn't show the first two seasons. It only went back so far. And I was like, well, duh. So then I had to revise my winners list. Because I was sitting there going, I was like, God, only three people have gotten this right so far. I do some stupid shit sometimes, I admit it.
Well, so you're laughing about, what a bunch of dumbasses, and then you say, oops.
I know. I guess that's what this show is. It's kind of partially therapy for me.
Well, right, as far as the loss, getting back to the football, I'm all right with it. Like, you know, you're going to miss some field goals. It was a good game. We're two teams that could play a lot and be 50-50 in 10 games, you know. So,
I will give props to the Denver quarterback. He played pretty damn well. You know, he looked a little shaky early, made kind of a couple bad decisions like we know they will. But, you know, overall, he kind of impressed me. Doesn't have a cannon of an arm, but, you know, he played with confidence. He didn't like look. He didn't look like Sanchez back there. So
he's not throwing down the field yet. He's got good accuracy.
Yeah. And he, you know. So I'll give him that. You know, he played much better than I thought he would, even though he made some pretty critical mistakes. All right. Let's see. Mayday is next up.
What's going on, Jack? Not much. Can you tell me what happened to our run defense?
Yeah, they kind of got a little diced up there. C.J. Anderson, he looked pretty good, man. He's a real shifty back, good at the cutback, good at catching the ball out of the backfield, obviously. You know, as far as the defense, what concerns me about is our secondary can't tackle for shit. And
I don't know. Now I'll stop you right there. I've watched the preseason, and Bradbury's been good at tackling. Now I don't know what happened that game.
I'd give him that.
But
Coleman's missing tackles. Of course, Trey Boston, if he has to take an angle, will screw the angle up every time. If it's right in front of him, he can make the tackle. He has to come in like that tackle for a loss that he had.
Yeah.
But it just seems that if he has to go for an angle, he's just diving. I don't know what the hell.
Yeah.
Not impressed with Trey Boston, though. He did make a couple good plays. His tackling he really needs to work on. Same with Kurt Coleman. And, you know, which is unfortunate. You know, guys, last week, we were discussing the depth chart, and I was just like, how in the hell do you put, you know, Ben Wickery on the bench? Of course, they didn't. They started him on the outside opposite Bradbury. Actually, Worley didn't see a snap in the secondary.
Bird didn't either. I mean, Bird didn't get to play either, did he?
No, Bird was
inactive.
Yeah.
Well, what I can't understand is the play calling of Shula in that game was, I thought, terrible. Terrible. It was the play calling we used 5 years ago.
It was like suddenly in the third quarter, right around the time Cam started getting hit, it was like suddenly the Broncos knew what we were running. You know, it was like they, I don't know, this shit changed there in the third quarter. And I think Shula's play calling had something to do with it. We didn't seem to be fooling them very much.
No.
You know, particularly in the run game. It was like either we executed or we didn't. And, you know, the play call or design wasn't necessarily going to defeat the defense the way it was lined up. I don't know. It's kind of where you're going with that, I think.
Well, about 5 years ago, we used to have this philosophy, it seemed like, with Cam being kind of new. Well, now the first couple of years, I thought we did pretty good under what's his name before he left and went to what was it, Cleveland?
Kedzinski.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought we did pretty good Cam's first couple of years, and then when Shula first took over, that's the kind of game he called was the one that he called last Thursday. You know, either 2 yards in a cloud of dust with no hope of nothing. I didn't see any screens. I didn't see any misdirection. Not too many. Did Cameron Artis Payne even play?
No, he was inactive.
So yeah. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we had so many of what I consider our weapons not even playing. I don't understand what they were trying to accomplish. You know, they showed up. They have all this stuff that they learned about in training camp, and they didn't use any of it.
Yep. That's why you can't go buy anything in training camp or preseason.
Talking about preseason games now. I'm talking about training camp.
Yeah.
You know, what we were seeing Bird doing and what we were seeing, you know, with Cameron Artis Payne. I mean, why have them if you're not going to use them? I mean.
Supposedly you got Ted Ginn and Philly Brown that can fill that role. So, you know, it's depth. Just their time yet. You know. But, yeah, that's about all I can think about.
Hey, the other thing, just out of fun, just for us all to talk about, is have you heard all the flack that Josh Norman's taking because he didn't switch sides last night? Everybody's talking about it. He only covered on the side that that Antonio Brown wasn't on. Why are you going to pay him $75 million and not let him cover your best guy, you know?
Well, Sherman does that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the scheme, ain't it? I mean, that's not his call. He can't just say, well, I'm going to
on the left side the whole game.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but what common sense does it make? I mean, not that I'm thinking I'm a better coach than
I'm not sure we really did that very much. I mean, we played a zone. I don't think we actually put in man coverage. I know we did on Julio Jones a couple times, but I don't want to say. I don't know. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't remember.
As a rule, he played on the left side on defense.
He covered Dez.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it makes him look foolish
matched up
$100 million
on.
And let go crazy
on you. I totally
you like.
Agree with you, and I think that's why Gettleman wasn't going to pay it. And so now this is going to be interesting because if Snyder gives in or the coaches get in, I guess, to this notion that, well, yeah, okay, we're going to do man up just to because of his salary. So this will be interesting to see how that comes out. Josh Norman
how would
very
you
well
have felt,
be able to ask.
Let me ask you a question. How would you have felt if you'd have been on the defense, on Redskins' defense last night, and you're watching one guy get torched, knowing that this other guy is getting paid $75 million because he's so good? Why ain't he covering him?
It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Particularly after you're right that he was just taking Breland to school. It was kind of ugly out there. They were kind of showing off.
I mean, think of what a statement that makes to your teammates. Hey, we brought this guy in, paid him more money than anybody else on the team except for our quarterback, you know, who's getting $20 million this year for nothing. And we're afraid to let him guard, you know, their best player. I mean, it just goes against all logic, really.
Well,
I mean, especially when you see that the other guy's getting torched. You put Norman over there, you switch him, and you say, Norman, cover him.
I think they really got let down by their run defense because, like, D'Angelo Williams ran all over them. And, like, if I think their goal may have been to cover, have Norman cover half the field, hopefully stop the run, and then make them force it to Antonio exclusively.
And the Skins' defense, the run defense last year was actually pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. But, oof, last night it was brutal.
Yeah. I expect a lot of weaknesses with every team the first 4 weeks. After that, you need to start making adjustments. The same thing that happened with the Panthers getting shredded by Anderson. The longer the season goes on, the better we are.
That's true. Thank you for that positive comment there. Let's see. John's been out on the line for a while. What's up, John?
Hello, Jack. How are you?
Let's see. I also see Parm out there. You're up next, buddy. But so, John, what's your thoughts on the campaign thing?
Fuck the NFL referees. And the NFL, too, if they don't do anything about it. Plain and simple. Can't tell me there's not something going on.
I think they should be red cards, man.
The Panthers have played.
But, like the college game, I saw it last season. Not this season, but last season. Adam Gotsis, the defensive tackle, is now with the Bills. Where is it? Bengals? Bengals, I think. But he got kicked out of a game for kind of bear-hugging tackle, but it was a face-mask-to-face-mask sack. But they threw his out. I mean, they didn't even hesitate. Threw him out of the game. And I just think that's what the NFL's got to do. And repeated offenses mean loss of additional games. But not without pay. Because I think the damn team needs to bear some of that responsibility as well.
Well, I think in a situation like that, don't they lose the pay for the player? It goes to that fund for the charity fund?
Yeah, that's probably good. Go to brain trauma research, CTE research.
I think it'd be interesting if they could get Sal Blandino to have a press conference and say, what are your guys doing? That would be interesting.
Who's that? That their
Blandino,
doctor?
The head of officiating for the NFL. Those are all his guys.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how Goodell, what he comes out with this. But again, if it's just another fine, which is all I'm expecting. I just worry that teams are just gonna keep doing it. I don't want my season lost because of crap like that. Of course, I have a lot of confidence in Derek Anderson.
I'm
glad it happened to Cam in the very first game because I think now the officials will have to pay attention to what happens to him. There's been so much talk.
I mean, that it was a season opener, nationally televised. And
yeah, the next somebody touches his face mask.
There wasn't anybody that watched that game that probably wasn't a diehard Bronco fan that thought that it was fair the way Cam was getting hit and it wasn't being flagged.
But what I'm saying is now it's going to switch the other way because that's the way it's been in the past. Something will happen, and then they'll overreact for a while, and then they'll finally come back to earth, but they'll overreact for a while. So now anybody touches Cam, I think they're going to get flagged.
Well, I hope so. We'll see.
I think
he says he's not old enough yet to get those calls. So...
Yeah, but, hey, you can't take shots like that right there in front of referees and that not be called. I mean, look at what that's cost the referees of that game. You know they ain't heard nothing but that they messed up calling that game. And you know that they've been called on the carpet by every board that's above them, everybody who has any authority over the referees at all has been all over their case about allowing that to happen to Cam. So I don't think it'll ever happen again now. I think that it happening in the first game is the best thing that could happen to Cam, because it brought all that attention. It was the only game on night.
I agree. You know, if it was going to happen, this was the best time. And but, you know, I just want to be clear that I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with me. This ain't the first time.
No, but this, you got to admit, this is the first time that it's been brought out nationally to the point that it has this time.
This is the worst.
The day after the game, ESPN would run stories, and they wouldn't talk about the game so much. It's just the hits that Cam was taking.
Yep.
So it was brought out. Right. And there were no other games to talk about, so that was the only game to talk about. So it got played for a couple of days. So I really think it's going to bring about some changes.
I hope so. I'm not going to hold my breath. All right, let's see. I got one more. I got Big Parmenides. What's up?
Hey, well, my bit's kind of been killed by comments, but I'm going to go through it anyway. You know, I have an innovative system for this. I don't know whether it's ever been done, but it involves cards. It involves cards that have maybe two different colors, and that if there's an egregious foul, but not really that bad, you might hold up one color card, and that's a warning. And if you get two of those, you get ejected. And if it's really egregious, then it's the other color card, and you get ejected for that game and the next game. I don't know whether any sport has ever done that, but it might fix the problem.
I kind of like it, to take on the soccer foul.
It could be a yellow card and a red card. I mean, this is a really innovative system. I don't know if anybody's thought of it before.
Yeah. They should take something up like that. That's quite an idea you have there. You know, they could give a warning. You get two warnings, you get kicked out.
Hey, do we get the flopping too?
Yeah, well, oh, God, yeah, maybe that would start the flopping then. But, hell, I'd be all about, hey, actually, Cam did a flop one time.
I think the big thing is there actually needs to be some type of rule on proper tackling. Because there was one hit that probably would have never gotten flagged, and it was when Cam was running, and the guy just kind of like launched himself with his arms at his sides into his head, and then crumpled, and Cam kept on running. It was the most piss poor tackling ever considered. And the fact is that if you had a rule that basically said you have to wrap up, or you have to, if you're going to hit, then you have to hit in the body area with your shoulder, then that would give a credence to the whole idea of you get a warning because your piss poor tackling actually tried to hurt somebody. Same thing in soccer. You can tackle somebody in soccer. You just have to hit the ball first. Like, you have to do it properly. If you don't do it properly, then there's a problem there. And you get a yellow card. And a lot of those hits were just, I mean, I think that article that I can't remember his name at the moment, that basically showed that the tackling was so poor. And it basically allows for an idea in defense where if we hurt the opposing players enough, they can't perform.
Yeah.
And so instead of considering everything on a play-by-play basis, it goes, well, if we just hurt the person, they're going to stop performing well. And that's really got to stop. And that, I mean, the ethos is never going to stop, where if I hit somebody hard enough, they're going to think about it. But if you do, if you tackle properly, you're much less likely to hurt somebody. Not that you won't hurt somebody, but you're just less likely. So,
yeah, I believe Tater had a good article on that a couple days ago. Just Eric Summers had a good article on that a couple days ago.
Yeah, and that's the article I'm talking about. That was a really good one. It maybe should be sent to the league offices and go, you know what? Tackling procedure should be maybe rule-bound. And I'm not saying that you always have to wrap up or you always have to, like, you know, do a perfect form tackle, but because the game runs too fast. But there needs to be some type of rule that basically says if all you do is like, launch your head at somebody with your arms by your side, you weren't actually attempting to tackle them.
Right. Then that was very much like the Brandon Marshall hit. Yeah,
and
the Brandon Marshall hit was not.
And you move forward.
And to tackle him at all. Yep.
But it was even worse that he just failed at the entire, like Cam's running.
Yeah.
He just sort of launches himself and then crumples to the ground. And Cam keeps on running. It was bad defensive philosophy.
Yeah.
For that play. It was great for the defensive philosophy of hurt him enough that he can't do that anymore. But in terms of that play, it was a complete failure. And that's what we've got to get back to, which is the idea that football is about a particular play, not necessarily that you're trying to, like, beat the crap out of somebody so that they can't play anymore because you don't have another way of defeating them. Because while we all like big hits and everything, I mean, there's nothing better than seeing Luke Kuechly wrap somebody up in the backfield and then whip around them and pull them down. I don't know how many people in the NFL can actually do that, but you know, that's a proper tackling technique.
Well, he wraps up and runs through the tackle, you know, and takes him to the ground. He's not trying to come in with a big hit to see how hard he can hit the person.
He's playing the play.
Of course, we saw Thomas Davis do that.
And Thomas Davis does it regularly.
One play held C.G. Anderson. He nailed him from behind. Just pulled her into
him. That's what I was going to say. You guys were talking about tackling. Like,
and the other thing is TD is probably really, really concerned about making sure that he stays healthy due to his history.
Well, you know, and
that
actually
type of
system, what we're trying to do helps the defender, too, because they're also getting taken a shot to the head. And so if they stop giving those shots, they obviously would reduce their chances of brain damage as well. That's not considered in the equation for these guys. They're weighing it as, you know, winning the game versus, a fine, you know, with a fine versus losing.
Yeah, but I mean, if the refs could do a warning, I mean, I think the idea that, all right, there's a hit, ejection if it's bad, gives too much leeway for not particularly egregious hits, but you want to give a warning. Give a warning as a yellow card. If they get another one, they're out of the game. The only problem I can see is with free substitution, you could send your backups in and just be like, hit them in the head. Don't care if you get ejected from the game. I mean, in soccer, if somebody gets ejected from the game, they're playing a man down.
Yeah.
Which causes sorts of problems.
Well, that's true. I'm not sure I would do that, but
yeah,
they could replace the guy. But Yeah, to me, this whole notion that, oh, well, they're given, and they still might. They might fine the Panthers. Of course, you know, there we go with fines.
No, I
but,
don't.
Oh,
I don't
you didn't
think
take
them
off thing.
So.
Well, then they, you know, then they, I mean, then they do truly do win. Because they not only rattle him up, but they actually get him off the field.
Well, I think for things like that, you've got to figure out a way to either do concussion tests very quickly and stop the game. There's a concussion. Run the, you know, a possible concussion. Run the tester on the field. Get the person up. Test them. Do it in as few seconds as theoretically possible, and do the game. Taking the person off the field in order and going into the back in order to do the test, I don't think is the right way for the game.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether that's the right way for a concussion test, because I don't know how you do concussion tests. But if there's a way to do it on the field, then they should figure out how to do that immediately and stop the game and do the test as quickly as possible.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they do have it on the field, but it's only, it's only going to detect, a serious concussion. You know, I think it's safe to say Cam did suffer a mild concussion, or at least, got his bell rung, per se. I don't know if that actually falls in the concussion, because he even came out and said he doesn't even remember the last drive.
I agree.
I think there's something to that, and I think he probably did, probably could have used his bell rung. But... he still got the job done, so I think that kind of shows that, well, he probably did suffer something mild, but, he recovered pretty quickly. But
and then for my second thing, I will say the biggest difference between this game was not Mike Remmers. It was the fact that he had, three people helping him. It was the fact that Cam Newton, as an outlet receiver, could target Kelvin Benjamin. The problem in the Super Bowl was that everything that Cam Newton was doing last year was wait for the receiver to get open. He held that ball forever last year because nobody could catch it contested. And so, but Kelvin Benjamin double covered. Yeah, chuck it to him.
Oh, yeah.
You can't still catch
Hell
it.
Hell, yeah.
You can't do that with Ted Ginn.
Yeah. Well, that was like Roethlisberger Antonio Brown. He was throwing him in the, chucking it, hell, not even half looking, just chucking it up there in the end zone in the double coverage, and he comes down with it. KB could be like that. All he's got to do is post, he's got this kind of post-up move where he runs in the end zone, turned around, and goes up for it.
And you just throw it above the rim.
That touchdown
he had,
that was just one of those, damn, how do you stop that?
You can't coach size.
You can't coach size.
I mean, I think all of our talk about Cotchery going away, well, the fact is Kelvin Benjamin running comeback routes is money on third down.
Oh, yeah.
He runs up, and then he turns around, boxes out, and goes, give me the ball.
Yeah, him or Olsen, either one.
Yeah.
So, we got
the problem
two of
is if a game works out like it did in the Denver game, Cam can't hit him. Cam was all over the place with his accuracy in Denver.
Well, after he started getting hit, then
no,
his
I'm talking about the start of the game. I'm talking about before
he
got hit. His accuracy. He was just off.
Oh, that's Cam. Cam routinely goes for 1 for 5 in the first drive.
Yeah.
And then he gets everything going, and he, is money.
Yeah, he's
a
very
while.
Streaky passer.
Yeah. We didn't take any shots down that game.
He was 11 for 17 in the first half. And then went 7...
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is the ones that he missed, he was bouncing 8 feet in front of them or throwing over their heads again. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, he had a
102.
He had a 102 rating in the first half, where Simeon had a 55, and then he ended up with a 64, just to show you how poorly he did in the second half.
Well, he didn't start out the game too good either, because I remember watching it thinking, what in the world's wrong with Cam? I mean, he can't hit anything.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the altitude had anything to do with it? As far as, like, people getting tired, the linemen getting tired?
I would imagine it did there in the second half. Hence why they seem to get more successful against pressure.
Yeah.
Certainly affected Andy Lee's punting, didn't it?
Yeah, dude, well, I know there was one person that commented that their helmet, the padding in their helmet, Bradbury, the padding in his helmet actually inflated throughout the game. I didn't realize stuff like that could happen. I really didn't.
What do you mean it inflated?
Just like in an airplane, its relative pressure outside of the altitude was less, so the padding inside seemed like it was harder.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. It was a brutal place to play.
Yeah.
Just from an endurance perspective.
Hey, you mentioned Bradbury. There's a good article on Bleacher Report right now about how the author thinks that Bradbury's going to have more upside than Josh Norman did.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas came out and said specifically, because another article that you're talking about was, I've never faced a rookie like that. Yeah, he's going to be good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, as far as that miss on Anderson on the tackle, I have to give him credit.
Yeah.
You know, hey, go one-on-one with Anderson, the running back, and that's a tough tackle to make.
Yeah.
I would rather him
for a rookie corner.
Yeah.
And Anderson was getting all that without anybody holding for him, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And then here's something to really think about for this game is, remember from all the scouting stuff they were talking about, that they really paid very close attention to how smart the players were. I think we play an incredibly cerebral defense, and without any tape, it made it a lot harder for our defense to do what it needed to do.
What the hell was up with Rivera, or, well, really Newton, I guess, burning all our damn timeouts in the first half? You know, we have third and nine on our first drive and burn a timeout, can't get the play in. And then three plays later, on a first down, well, it was on a second and eight, same damn thing. I don't know if that was Newton. I mean, it's got to be Shula, and he's in his ear, right? They couldn't figure out what they wanted to play. He's sitting there waiting on the play. Fuck.
You don't know, first game, it could have been people lining up in the wrong spot and him having to move them around or something.
Yeah. We used our third timeout with still 11 minutes to play in the second quarter. Of course, it didn't end up hurting us. Outside of there was a play we could have challenged. That we didn't because we didn't have any timeouts. I'll have to look at them. All right. Anyone want to talk fantasy football for a moment?
Well, before we do that, I want to say I wish we had BW with us tonight.
I send him an email. I send the whole group an email every time. And
well, you know, Stuart, I think it shows that the Denver staff is teaching them to hit high, because Stuart played for South Carolina. He never hit anybody when he played at South Carolina.
Darian Stewart? Did I lose you, Goose Creek? Anyone out there?
Hello?
Hello?
Jack.
Yeah, Danny.
Oh. Anyone else out there?
Yeah,
can you hear us, Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you guys. I don't know what happened to
GC. I think Deuce just dropped out.
Okay. I'm not seeing it on my little control board here.
About South. I think he was trying to make a punchline about the Gamecocks. I think that's what he was trying to do. But then his phone dropped out.
That's
so
why he was wanting. That's why he was wanting BW on the line so he could
exactly
try to stir him up a little bit talking about the Gamecocks, huh?
Yep, yep.
Well, that would work. I mean, just bring up the Braves and get BW all twisted up.
Oh yeah.
BW's on ball talk. He's like, yeah, that's what you get, this Creek.
Well, I
did
he's
think
on,
he would dial in tonight.
Team
I really did.
Yeah, because everybody wants to know what he has to say now.
Yeah, I'll send him a personal invite next time. Lord, so I don't know. Does anybody want to talk about the 49ers before we move to fantasy? It seemed like we should win that one pretty handily, but they looked pretty tough last night. At least their defense,
yeah, the defense
looked
good. Really good.
Charles Hyde looked good.
Is LA really that bad? I mean, I watched the game. Can they really be that bad?
I think L.A., their offense is certainly that bad. I don't know what happened, why Gurley couldn't run the ball. I mean, their offensive line should be better than it is, as much as they've spent on it. I don't know, but that Case Keenum, he just...
He's too.
I heard the problem with Jared Goff isn't his arm and, you know, passing. It's that... He's struggling to call plays. Understand the plays.
Yeah.
Well, that will do me a heartbeat.
Carson Wentz looked pretty good, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. So, you know, I think the key is going to be getting an early lead against the 49ers. But then not resting on our laurels like we seem to do with the Broncos. I have to admit, I wasn't too crazy about Rivera deciding to kick that field goal there at the end to come within a point. But he was redeemed. I mean, it did end up working out for us. The defense forced a three and out. And we're able to, you know, get in range for a decent game-winning field goal, just that last part. Went in the shit can, so went wide left. Oh, no, good, no. So, yeah, I can't imagine we don't handle the 49ers, though. I don't think there's an easy out in the NFL. Everyone else agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
As far as fantasy, you know, I've looked at, and again, I'm in a bunch of leagues. I'm out there looking on the waiver wire, and there's a few players that are consistently out there in everything, but the only place I pulled the trigger really was where I had Keenan Allen on one, and of course, you know, somebody goes on IR, you get a replacement, but you know, Will Fuller is probably out there available. He had a big day, and out of everyone, I think he could still put up some big numbers this year, but I think it's going to be – he's a rookie. It's got to be inconsistent.
I literally had Keenan Allen on all of my teams pretty much.
Me too,
I was still
and
high
in
on
daily
him.
Fantasy as well.
What about OBJ being third on his own team in receiving?
Yeah, kind of a lame start.
Or what about the tight ends doing absolutely nothing? Like, did anyone get more than 6 points out of their tight end?
Vance McDonald.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the 0.5% of people that started him?
No, actually,
yeah.
I think the Colts tight ends, that Jake Doyle dude had 2 touchdowns.
Sure did.
Yeah.
But so he's, you know, but I could see him, that being the biggest game of the whole season for him. I just don't trust the whole Indy Colt and their double tight end system there with Dwayne Allen, the other one. They're both just hit or miss, I think.
They're going to leave Allen in the block.
You know, probably Alex Smith is out there. If you need a quarterback, he actually was a top scorer or top three, I think. But, you know, the damn Chiefs offense can just sputter and go into a tailspin at any point. So I just don't trust that pick either. Actually, I have the Minnesota defense, which shocked the shit out of me that they did so well.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what to think. And
should have taken San Francisco's
really any defense out there.
You should have taken San Francisco's defense.
Minnesota had a couple touchdowns on their defense, I believe.
Yeah. Who did?
Minnesota got like a couple defensive touchdowns,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would try
to
pick up Tyrell Williams for the Chargers.
Yeah,
I'm only in one fantasy league, and I had Keenan Allen, so I'm going to pick up Tyrell Williams. If he doesn't work out for a couple weeks, I'll drop him. No big deal.
Look for Willie Snead too. I actually drafted him on several teams late. And he had a ton of targets by Drew Brees, and I don't think that's a fluke. I think he likes him. So check your leagues. If he's still out there, he's a definite pickup. I think Will Fuller might be worth a stash.
Absolutely, yeah.
Running back wise, Theo Riddick. Gotta like, you know, he's kind of like Danny Woodhead, runs and catches the ball. He had a big day, and I think that, all right, doesn't Detroit have a new offensive coordinator or something? There's a reason why they think that it's going to be a big offensive year.
Can I say his name, Jackson?
Oh,
Billy
yes.
Bob Cooter.
I know. Billy Bob Cooter.
Isn't that his name?
How could I forget that? Yeah, I really thought that was a joke the first time I heard it. I was like, no, really? That's his name?
Varsity Blues.
Yep. Shit, I just realized I forgot to open the chat box. Well, late now.
I bet Charles Sims is probably out there in free agency, too. He should be good for, like, PPR leagues.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe Crowell.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mike Wallace is probably out there. He had a big day,
yep.
But I don't trust him in the Ravens.
No.
But that's a good call, Jackson. That's a good call.
AJ Green had a big day, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. He abused
Revis.
Revis, yeah.
Yep.
Revis, yes.
Revis,
and Revis even said wasn't one of my better days.
Hey, did you hear the quote where somebody said they built a luxury hotel on Revis Island?
Yeah, I heard that.
I like that. That's good. It's the AJ Mahal. Oh. That's good. Let's see who else. But, you know, Mike Wallace, he might rekindle and have a season. Again, you know, that was just Sean, right? Sean Hill started for them? So,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's in Baltimore with Flacco.
Well, Flacco has a lot of the Guinness going there.
He does, and that was actually a really nice pass because he took a little bit off of it. Hit him right in stride. It was a beautiful pass. So he's good for those every now and again. He's just a little inconsistent, just doesn't hit them all. I don't know what the hell to make of their backfield. I think eventually, though, Terrence West is going to be the man. And if he ever gets 20 carries a game, he'll be a running back starter.
Hey,
well,
I've got
Kendall
a question.
Dixon
is
in your
– I don't know.
Where I pick him up and stash him.
What now?
Hey, that's
Kendall,
not
is,
go ahead.
I can't tell who's who. Go ahead. I think it's Mayday.
No, I was just wondering because I was watching the highlights and I don't know who it was. Who got the 95-yard touchdown from Breeze? Was that Brandon
Cooks?
Yes.
That was Brandon Cooks.
Cooks, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a tough time with New Orleans. We're going to have to score like 45 points to win. Because their defense isn't going to do anything, so that's going to be pitch and catch. But they still have an amazing offense.
Yep.
Well, they got beat by Oakland, didn't they?
The Bucks are the solid second team in the South, I'd say.
Didn't
after,
New Orleans get beat by Oakland?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not just in the standings, but I think they just went and throttled the Falcons up in their own place.
Yeah.
I think they'll be the Saints too, you know. So, right there, you know, they could go 4-2 in the division.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. As far as who else might be out there, yeah, they're just it's slim pickings at tight end. You know, if Tyler Eifert is out there, I would grab him. I think a lot of people drafted him anyway. I did on at least one or two teams.
It's crazy you did six or seven leagues. That's a lot.
Yeah, I have six. You know, I just have a hard time bailing out of them. Three of them are CSR leagues.
Okay.
And, I started 13 intending to get out of it, and then nobody will step up and be manager, so I'm like, oh, screw it. And then I started the IDP league number two just because I've never done IDP and I wanted to try it. Doesn't really do anything for me. It's hard enough picking offensive players, much less defense. It's just even more of a crapshoot. And right now I'm looking at my dudes, and some of them did okay, some of them didn't. I'm like, screw it, I'm just going to keep playing you guys. You should be pretty good. I don't know what the hell to do with IDP. I didn't really change my defensive players around much outside of injuries or, you know, bye weeks. Of course, and that's why I came in tenth.
I've never done an IDP league. I bet it's pretty fun though.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. The problem is you just don't have enough bench slots, and maybe that's what I need to do is increase the bench slots. Because you get one bench slot, but you're playing seven dudes. And,
oh crap! Wow.
Yeah. So you get one, just any defender, any position. Then you get two linebacker, two defensive backs, and two defensive linemen, defensive ends, or defensive tackles. So you're taking the ends because you're going for guys to get sacks. But you know, guys like Aaron Donald, when they're not getting thrown out of the game, can put up big numbers at defensive tackle. But not really big numbers. It's rare anyone on defense gets more than 10 points. I guess that's kind of...
So do you get a point for a tackle or like...
One for tackle and two for a sack, two for an INT, right, and then two, and then two for a fumble recovery, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with IDP league is that sites aren't geared to handle them. Like, they'll just have random defensive players, like almost alphabetically is like the best one to select. Like they don't really have a point total.
Yeah.
A lot of sites.
You're exactly right that you can't
auto-draft,
search for them or pre-draft plan for them like you can other players because they're not ranked properly.
Yeah.
And they don't have a lot of the data. I don't know. You're right that the apps aren't set up properly. At least in the Yahoo one that I do it in.
Yeah. And defensive backs, like someone's guard guy going to get torched because like he's going to get a lot of tackles and passes defended.
Yeah. Well, so my wife joined. She used to play years ago when I started, and she just got out of it. But she just wanted, she's like, I want to do fantasy football. And I'm all right. You know, so she's in two of my leagues. But at least the upside is that, like, the dude, she just beat the guy week one is, I get to rag him, like, man, he sucks so bad my wife could beat you at fantasy. Dude, I was there when she drafted. She was going for Packers and Saints. You lost to Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks because she didn't do shit else
How
in her whole lineup.
How dare you? Good.
The rest of her lineup got her 20 points.
That's good.
I better get her down. I don't want her to hear me in the bedroom.
Yeah, don't let her hear you, whatever you do.
Oh. Let's see. Yeah, we talked about Andy Lee. What a debut he had. If anyone out there had any qualms about the fourth round pick, I think this guy is going to be a weapon for us this year, and he's exactly what Ron Rivera was looking for, at least so far.
Agreed.
How old is he?
34.
He is 34, right. I bet we
How long can punters go in their 40s?
Yeah, they can go into up to their 40s, if they stay in shape and all that. He certainly looks like it. I mean, you on that 74-yarder that he kicked, you saw him stroke that thing.
Gosh.
I mean, he, pounded that ball. He had to be, thinking, hey, man, this is my chance right here. He's like, they're just telling me to kick this damn thing as hard as I can. I'm up here in mile high. 74-yard kick, right? So, and that's from the line of scrimmage, right? And that's from the line of scrimmage that it doesn't count for.
He was in the end zone, Jackson, and I heard Collinsworth say, wow, he boomed that punt. It was amazing.
Yeah.
He booted the absolute piss out of that ball.
Yeah. So if you figure that he's, 8 yards off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, that's right.
That he boomed that thing over 80 yards.
Yeah. He set two in a franchise
record. I don't know if you've ever been on a football field and tried to kick a ball, but to punt a ball 40 yards, in my book, is pretty damn good for the average Joe.
He set two Panthers records in the first game.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Speaking of records, Cam is now an all-time leader in rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. Somebody mentioned that. I need to throw up a post on that.
Oh, the NFL channel on YouTube actually made a video of all his rushing touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. He's got some pretty spectacular ones in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take the over on he's going to continue to do more.
He's going to continue to run? Yeah, he's going to keep running the ball.
Yeah.
I saw Shield there. Yeah, we do want to limit the amount he's running. We're still in that 7 or 8 to 10 range.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Are we playing at one on Sunday?
He takes less punishment running the ball than he does sitting back throwing it sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, what time is the Sunday game?
It's a 1 o'clock, ain't it?
Yeah.
Good, because when West Coast teams come east and have to play the early game, they never do well either.
Oh, well, that's good. Take whatever advantage I can get at this point.
I never really thought about it at first, but anytime the NFC, the AFC conference champions that don't win the Super Bowl, normally they get their first game at home, you know, to do the ceremony for the rings and stuff. And obviously this year was the first year in a lot of years that we actually had to go to Denver for the rematch. But I never really knew that. I never paid attention to it.
No, because no one cares about second place. But
yeah, that's right.
It was like 1970 was like the last time like the two teams faced off in the Super Bowl in the first game.
Because normally the conference champions actually get to play their very first game at home, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Yep. Crap, man, time has flown by here. Shit, we're down to under 4 minutes. Let's see. I guess we've hit all of our topics. Anybody got anything we haven't covered yet here for this last 2 minutes or so?
Russell Wilson tweaked his ankle.
I'm going to assume he's not going to play.
They're probably going to like lose to the Rams anyways because that's like their kryptonite.
Yeah. That one thing.
Did Seattle lose? I don't remember.
Oh, screw Kenny Stills, man.
No, Seattle won.
Yeah, but Kenny Stills.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Did you see that Kenny Stills jump? Oh, my God. Yeah, can you get a look at that?
Hey, in that play, Kenny Stills looked just like, what's his name, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, 12-10. I see it now. Yep. Did you see CJ Spiller's already out? He's out in New Orleans.
Yeah, he got cut.
What happened to that guy? For a guy that was so good in college, man, I just don't get it.
I saw this funny thing on Reddit that for every snap he played for the Saints, he got paid $45,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Hey, and never completely just laugh at the fact that you got some guy coming out of college, never had any money, all of a sudden got hundreds and hundreds of thousands saying, I don't really care that much about it anymore.
Yeah, well, I'll bet there's some of that. Yeah, that happens, ain't no doubt.
I think Albert Haynesworth is a really good example of that. You know, got my money, I don't even want to practice.
Yeah.
You catch him before you lose thing before you.
Jeff Otah.
Yeah. I was going to say one other thing before
example.
You.
What's that?
Before you close out the show, if Thomas Davis hit Trevor Siemian. Like Brandon Marshall hit Cam Newton, Trevor Siemian's head would have been in Ron Rivera's lap. I'm just going to say that right now. The way he hit Emmanuel Sanders, like you talked about earlier, I mean, he could have crippled that guy.
Hit Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, you remember when he hit Emmanuel Sanders when he caught that pass and Thomas Davis hit him? He, like, jarred his whole innards.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah,
where he just put his shoulder into him and his shoulder tackled him.
Exactly.
He just knocked him off his feet. Yeah, he nailed him.
But Thomas Davis
never
left his feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Thomas Davis never left his feet, and he just rattled Sanders.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true, and he didn't hit him in the head. Shoulder to shoulder, so...
But if TD hit Cam like Brandon Marshall hit Cam, Cam would have been crippled.
Yeah.
That's how far TD hits.
All right. 10, right, guys. Well, we'll do it again next week. We got the 49ers Sunday at 1 o'clock. And that is the end of the recording. Y'all have a good evening, all right? All right, we'll see you.
Yeah.